A key concern in this letter to the Hebrews is that Christians remain strong in the faith. There is a danger of developing a heart of unbelief, as he writes in chapter 3. And it was the lack of faith that destroyed Israel in the wilderness, again chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. In chapter 10, we saw an exhortation to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, verse 22. And then we saw an admonition to have faith that endures to the end, chapter 10, verses 35 through 39, and again in chapter 6. But someone might ask, what is this faith which leads to the saving of the soul? And how does this faith manifest or make itself known in the lives of those who possess it? In chapter 11, we find the answer to that very question, with a definition of faith in verse 1, and then a mention of how necessary faith is to please God in verse 6, and then with examples of Old Testament saints who demonstrated or have shown this saving faith in their lives, verses 3 through 40. In this lesson, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7, and our focus on the first 7 verses are going to be the examination of the faith that pleases God. So in verses 1 through 3, we see that faith is explained or defined for us. The writer says faith is confidence and conviction. The New King James Version reads in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." The Greek word translated there means substance. It literally means to stand under or to be a foundation. It's translated in chapter 3 and verse 14, to mean confidence or firm, trust, assurance. Other translations illustrate that the main idea is confidence. The New International Version says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for." The New Revised Standard and the New American Standard say, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." The New King James goes on to say that it is the evidence of things not seen. Again, this Greek word evidence is translated conviction. How other versions translate this verse, the New International Version said it means certain of what we do not see. And again, the New Revised Standard and the New American Standard talks about the conviction of things not seen. But the writer goes on and talks about that it's pertaining to those things hoped for and not seen. Faith is confidence. Confidence about things that we hope for, such as the coming of the Lord, Titus 2 in verse 13, the resurrection of the dead, chapter 24 in Acts in verse 15. And it was this kind of confidence that was possessed by the Old Testament saints that pleased God, Hebrews 11 in verse 2. Faith is conviction. Conviction about things that we have not seen, such as the existence of God. Paul would tell the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, "whom no man has seen or can see." How the world began. Chapter 11 and verse 3 talks about the worlds were framed by the word of God. Yet faith is that strong conviction that such matters are true. We see in verse 2, the elders obtained a good testimony because of their faith. The rest of this chapter is filled with illustrations of the faith possessed by these elders. The first three mentioned are antediluvians living before the flood, and in them we see faith exemplified, verses 4 through 7. The testimony of Abel, faith worshiping. In verse 4 he says, By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's referencing back to Genesis 4. You'll remember Cain's offering was of the fruit of the ground, while Abel's offering was of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And it said that the Lord respected Abel's offering, but not Cain's. So why didn't God respect Cain's offering? And he did respect Abel's. It may be that God had been specific that their sacrifices should be animal sacrifices. It may be that Cain offered leftovers while Abel offered the very best, the firstborn. Cain's attitude may have been wrong, and he certainly showed himself prone to display envy and hatred, even capable of murder. Maybe, most likely anyway, Abel offered his with faith, while Cain did not. Through faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous, 11 and verse 4. And God certainly testified of his righteousness in showing respect to his offering. Matthew 23 and verse 35, Jesus also bore witness to the righteousness of Abel. And also the Apostle John in 1 John 3 and verse 12. And through his faith, again, we go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, he being dead still speaks. His example of faith was written for our learning, as Paul would tell us in Romans 15 and verse 4. His example of faith continues to warn us in regards to worshiping God. And then we see the testimony of Enoch, walking faith. We see that by faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death. Verse 5. This historical reference is alluded to in Genesis 5. And like Elijah, he did not experience death, 2 Kings 2. His faith was such that he pleased God, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. And what God found pleasing is that he walked with God, according to Genesis 5. Now his example of faith illustrates the value of walking with God throughout life. The testimony of Noah, faith working, says by faith Noah moved with godly fear. Chapter 11 and verse 7. The scriptural background is Genesis 6, and God warned him about things not seen, as we read in chapter 11 and verse 1. In other words, the coming flood. His confidence, his faith in what God said would happen prompted him to act with reverence toward God. By faith, it says, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. His faith moved him to do according to all that God had commanded him, Genesis chapter 6. So we see that through faith working, Noah condemned the world. His own example of faithfulness stood in stark contrast to others, and his obedience magnified the lack of obedience in others. Just as Nineveh will condemn those who did not listen to Jesus, as we read in Matthew 12 and verse 41. Became heirs of the righteousness which is according to faith. He received the standing of being right in God's eyes. It was his faith that so pleased God. We see this demonstrated that faith and works are not necessarily contrary to one another, Galatians 5 and James 2. So from the examples of these antediluvian saints, we learn that the faith is a strong conviction that worships God properly, walks with him in life, and works as God directs. That type of faith is necessary to please God, and it's evident as we go back and notice verse 6, because here the writer talks about faith being emphasized. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We've seen how Abel, Enoch, and Noah obtained a good testimony by their faith. Of Enoch in particular, it is said that he pleased God, verse 5. Now, whether we're worshiping, walking, or working, faith must be the motivating factor behind everything that we do. Without faith, there is nothing we can do that will please God. So the faith that pleases God includes conviction, that believes that he is God. We must believe that there is a God, and he is the God of the Bible. Though we do not see him, we have conviction in things not seen, verse 1. And it includes confidence that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to believe that God acts on the part of those who seek after him, 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And it's regarding such things hoped for that we must have confidence. We go back to verse 1. Such was the faith of the lives of men like Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And one might ask, Well, how do we develop that kind of faith today? How is saving faith developed? It's not the result of credulity. A common misconception is that faith is blind, that there is no logic or reason to faith. One just simply believes. But faith described in the Bible is the result of evidence. Romans 1 and verse 20, Psalm 19 and verse 1 talks about faith in God as the result of evidence provided through creation. We have faith in Jesus as the result of evidence provided via the revelation of God's Word. John 20, verses 30 and 31 tells us that many other signs and wonders were done by Jesus that are not recorded, but these that are recorded are enough that we can believe. So certainly the antediluvian saints had that type of evidence, including God speaking to them directly. Today, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. The Word of God presents evidence to believe in God and Jesus, such as the fulfillment of prophecy, the eyewitness testimony of the apostles and others. And it's through God's Word that we can develop the kind of faith or conviction that pleases God, Romans 15 and verse 4. The faith that leads to the saving of the soul is faith that includes a strong conviction that God is, a strong confidence that He will reward those who diligently put some effort into seeking Him. It's the same kind of faith that we see in Abel, in how he worshiped God, in Enoch, in how he walked with God, in Noah, in how he worked with God. So let me ask you, do you have that same kind of faith today? If you don't, I pray that you'll let the Word of God create that type of faith in you, because it can produce faith in the existence of God. It can produce faith in Jesus as His Son who died for you. And then when you do that, let it affect the manner in which you worship God, in which you walk with God, in which you work for God, as we see revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to believe that with the right kind of faith, we can have assurance that God is pleased in us, that we are heirs of the righteousness which is according to faith, and that we too will one day obtain a good testimony. I want to thank you for being with me this morning. If you have any questions or would just like to comment or speak to me about these lessons or this lesson or any in particular, I would be glad to listen to you. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. And we'll be glad to sit down. We can email, have an email correspondence, or we could set up a time to meet and discuss the Word of God. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can do so at 11:40 this morning, but also you can go to the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. You can find the sermons listed there. It's under that column. You find other lessons that have been preached at Eastside. You can find reading material. You can find information about who we are as a church. Again, if you'd like to talk with me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. And you can listen to this lesson again at the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. You can join us this morning for a period of Bible study at 9 o'clock. In a period of worship service at 10, and then we meet again this evening at 5 p.m. for another portion of studying of the Word of God. We also have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. Again, I want to thank you for being with me.